Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening, everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you have us both for the next 60 minutes, and I am really excited to be back with you this week. We had a break last week, and I'm so glad we are back, and we have a great topic on tap for this evening. Everyone that is a business owner, or if you want to be a business owner, you have products to sell, or you're trying to figure out how to promote something, oh my goodness, do we have a guest for you. So just sit back and be patient, because we're going to get to her in a very few minutes here. But I first just want to say good evening to everyone. Tony, how are you doing this evening?
Doing real good. How about yourself?
Well, I can't complain. I do want to make a little comment about the chat room. The chat room keeps changing on us.
I see.
Now, I'm not sure if you're seeing what I'm seeing. I mean, we have quite a few guests in the chat room, and I'm very happy about that, but the screen is very big. It's very, very big. So I want you all to bear with me because I also have a lot of call-ins, and when I see call-ins on hold, I try to get people on the line to ask whatever questions they have. But unfortunately, Tony, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do both because when I open my chat room, it takes up the entire screen.
Oh, so this give you an opportunity to minimize?
No. It gives me an opportunity to either totally minimize and remove it, but it won't, it won't shrink it down. I mean, it makes it either take up the entire screen where I can't see anything, or if I, you know, make it smaller, then it takes up half the screen where I can't see my switchboard. So it looks like I can only do one or the other. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but at any rate, we are going to move on with the show, and I am happy to have all our guests in the chat room, and I'm thrilled about our guests that are going to be calling in, listening in on the archive download. So you all are really going to, you're really going to enjoy the show this evening because, Tony, as you very well know, I know it's been just running rampant in my family, and I'm a life coach. I'm sure all my listeners know that. And I've had so many clients that have come to me saying they've been laid off and they're losing their jobs and they're trying to figure out what to do. I mean, they're trying to, you know, start businesses of their own or, you know, find something to do with themselves. So our guest tonight is really going to be able to help with that because she's really going to be able to tell us how to get started and where to go and what to do. And she is just very, very well versed in that area. So, and I know, Tony, you probably have been experiencing a lot of it too with layoffs and hearing people get laid off and all that stuff.
Well, absolutely. As a matter of fact, kind of on the same line of what we're going to discuss this evening, our radio station is actually doing a promotion that gives folks an opportunity to have a, I guess you could say, a broadcast resume. So if you're a business or you're an individual who's been laid off or you're looking for a job, you can enter a contest and get a chance to basically sell your wares or do an audio resume and tell your story. So it's kind of on the same line, and a lot of folks are needing to learn how to do and or sell themselves, and that's a very important part of nowadays because the job market is a lot broader than it used to be, and there's so many people out there with multiple degrees or no degrees, and they're all vying for the same jobs. It used to be you go to McDonald's or someplace like that and start your work experience. Now, that's where you go to survive and continue feeding your family, or Walmart or any of those other places that a lot of folks would think of secondary jobs or things like that. Those are the initial jobs. So this is going to be a great show for that opportunity.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, our guest tonight is Kathleen Gage. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her because I'm going to let her, I don't want to steal her thunder. I'm going to let her have her moment when she comes on. But she is the CEO and founder of Turning Point, Inc., and Maxwell Publishing is a best-selling author. She's a keynote speaker and an internationally recognized internet marketing and publicity expert for speakers, trainers, and authors. So Kathleen has pretty much been all over the place, and she works with all levels of people. So I'm not going to steal her thunder. I'm just really thrilled about her joining us this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her on the line. Kathleen, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. You're on with
great.
Us. How are you doing this evening?
I am fabulous. I'm fabulous. It's great to be on the show, and I'm looking forward to sharing whatever I can that will help people during these very interesting times.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't it interesting? That's a good word, interesting. But, you know, Kathleen, why don't you go ahead? I didn't want to steal your thunder. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and, you know, because I know you have done so much. Man, when I printed off your bio, I was like, good Lord. I mean, it just goes on for pages
yeah,
and pages. And
yeah, all it means is I'm getting older. You know, I just hit 55, and I have to say life is getting so exciting at midlife.
There
and,
you go.
I have no clue how many years I've got left, but I'm enjoying every single day that I'm around. And I've actually had my business for 15 years. And in the 15 years, I've gone through ups and downs in the economy. I've gone through reinventions of myself and my business. And I have to say that now, more than ever, my business is doing better than it ever has. And there's new and exciting things coming. And there was a period in my business where if there was some uncertainty, which every day is an uncertain day, I was pretty fearful. Well, today I get excited about that. When I see this uncertainty going on, it's a great opportunity to create. And really that's what business people have to do. But I started my business in Salt Lake City, and I now live in Oregon. I've had the opportunity as a result of the type of business that I have to pretty much live wherever I want to as long as we have internet hookup. But when I first started, there was no internet. There was nothing like we see today as far as running a business. And I was pretty much a corporate trainer and a keynote speaker. Over the process of the 15 years, I have developed information products, I've written books, I have changed the market that I work with. I used to work primarily with corporate America, and I've worked with organizations like AT&T, the U.S. Marine Corps, the L.A. Sheriff's Department. I mean, the list goes on and on there. And I found that the more I discovered about myself and what I really wanted to do with my life and follow my passion, the market definitely changed. And I now primarily work with solopreneurs, very, very small business owners, and as far as the size of their company, not necessarily the revenues, because I have some clients where they have a small staff and they're making millions of dollars in revenue. So it's not necessarily based on revenue more than it is on
right.
the type of business, the type of person.
Number of employees.
Yeah, and number of employees. And the most right now, I would say, of any client that I have who has a employee base would be maybe 30 employees, but that's a rarity nowadays. Usually it's one or two people in a business.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that because you may have heard a little bit of my intro before I brought you on the line. There are so many. I'm a life coach and I'm a career consultant, and I'm also a motivational speaker because I, you know, talk about life skills and setting goals. And of course, my title of my show is Living by Design and how to live your life by design. And if you have a plan and if you follow your passions, and those things are so very important. And people are just dropping out of corporate America. As they drop out of corporate America, they just feel like they need to drop out of the world because they feel like the world is corporate America. And that is just so not true. If you could just learn and understand what it is that drives you, there are so many other things that can be done. There are so many other things you can do with your life. And I'm really happy to hear you say that you now work with small corporations or small companies because there are so many small business owners that are starting up now. They're doing that because they don't have a choice. They're trying to get creative, and that's a great thing.
Absolutely. And actually, I worked in corporate America for quite some time. I worked for a little company called GTE, and which actually they had billions of dollars in revenue.
Right.
And, you know, we were a little drop in the bucket in our department. I was in the healthcare division, and I was in the marketing division of that part of GTE. And what I found, and this was 15 years ago, what I found was I did not have the autonomy to be creative or implement the ideas that I had that I thought would improve the department and the company. There was really a ceiling, and it wasn't necessarily a glass ceiling for women. It was just a ceiling of creativity. And based on frustration, I made a decision to leave, and that was when I, right around when I was 40. And, you know, a lot of people, they were like, what are you doing? You're 40 years old. You should keep your job, keep the security. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to die of a heart attack at 42. And so really what it was is my spirit was dying when I was in corporate America. Now, there's some people that are cut out for it. I don't want to say that it's not a good place for some people, but for other people it definitely isn't. And the interesting thing is there's probably more people in small businesses than there are in corporate America, if you add all of the numbers.
Absolutely.
Up. And, you know, so really what it is people having the courage to follow a dream. And usually what I hear from people is, well, I might not make any money at it. And the reality is when you follow your passion and you get the skill set to enhance your passion and you get the training and you lay a foundation, there's a very good chance you will make money. But the one thing that I see, and I'm sure you see this with your clients, Kathy, is that many times people want to start a business, but they don't run it like a business. They don't get a DBA, which for those listening, if you don't know what that is, it's a doing business as. They don't get somebody to help them with their books. They don't put an account aside for their taxes. They don't keep receipts. I mean, all of that is a part of running a viable business. And so the thing that I always recommend to people is if you're brand new at starting a business, go out and seek the help that can get you off the ground. And you can get coaches that can help you with that. You can get government agencies, Chamber of Commerce's. They're always willing to help people with their businesses, because the more viable the businesses in their community, the more they're going to be able to help people and grow within their organization. So I would say one of the number one things for people to look at, first of all, is what is your passion? What gets you excited? What would get you to jump out of bed in the morning? And you wouldn't mind working long hours if you had to at this particular thing. That's a great place to start as you think of what do you want to do with your business. It's interesting when you mentioned about being a life coach. I mentor a lot of people in my business, and I have a very good friend that right now she and I are going through a process where we are holding ourselves accountable to ourselves and to one another. We're actually, every day we're checking in, we're writing down our goals for the day. We're just doing these really amazing things that are helping us to have more empathy for the people we work with when we say, okay, this is what you committed to. Now, why haven't you done it, or what could you have done better? What do you think you could let go of? All of that. And it's a real interesting process when we as coaches and mentors put ourselves through the same process. Because I'm a real firm believer, if you're going to teach something, you really need to know it inside out, and you need to walk the talk.
You know, Kathleen, you sound like, Tony, does she sound like me or what? I mean,
so many
of the things that you are saying, what makes you jump out of bed every morning and the accountability, and, I mean, you are absolutely right on. Well, you just described, actually, you described mind mapping. Have you ever been part of a mind mapping group or?
Well, I've been involved in mastermind groups, and I have done mind mapping, and you know, so I actually put vision boards together. You know, I'm a real firm believer that which we think becomes a reality, and it's amazing how powerful that is. You know, and what's interesting, even people who say they don't believe in it, they're doing it all the time, because whatever thoughts they focus on the most, they're going to create it in their reality. So really it's a matter of people looking at what's around them, because that's where their thoughts were. If you have a great life, and it doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges in life. I think actually with my colleague who I'm having this accountability process with, I said, you know, accountability is like gratitude. it's real easy to be grateful when life is going good, we have money in the bank, we got our bills paid, we have food in the refrigerator, everybody's healthy, and we say, oh, life is great. The true test of gratitude, and I'm talking to the core of our very spirit, is when life has turned upside down and we've been hit upside the head. And in that, can we be grateful? Same with accountability. It's easy to be accountable when we're feeling good, and we're because right now mine has to do with health issues. I just signed up for a marathon. I'm running a marathon in October for my 55th birthday.
For you.
That's what I decided to give myself. And in the accountability, when things are going great, it's really easy to be accountable. It's when we hit the wall and our emotions and our feelings come up because we're changing behaviors that's where the greatest opportunity for being accountable shows up.
And you know, Kathleen, you're so right, and I'm going to back up for a second and talk a little bit about something that you mentioned. I see this so much with my clients, and I've tried to change my strategy a little bit because when you said something about there are certain aspects of running a business that you have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I ask my clients about a business plan, oh, my God, they just fall off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk a little bit about, because this is what I, and if you maybe you could expand on this a little bit, this is what I say to them. I know it might seem a little frightening and, oh, I don't know anything about that, but a business plan, it doesn't have to be that scary. All you have to do is just start out. I mean, even if you start out with, if you had to pick the three biggest goals that you wanted to accomplish, and if you knew that you could accomplish one of them within 24 hours, which one would it be?
And then you take that
and put it at the top of a sheet of paper,
mm-hmm.
and then everything that you can think of associated with getting that goal accomplished, write it down. Write down everything you could think of, everything associated with the finances that, you know, are associated with getting that goal accomplished, everything that's associated with the administrative portion of getting that goal accomplished, whatever it is. Don't make your business plan too complicated. Just make it simple, what you can do right now, and it will grow as you grow. Because
you know,
people, they cause that to stop them.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if they don't do it early on, it's just like what I heard Tony Robbins say once about saving 10% of what you make. He said, if you don't save 10% on a dollar, you're certainly not going to save 10% on $100,000. And that's very sage advice. It's the same with a business plan. When you run a business, you have to put plans together all the time. I hold a lot of different types of events, primarily online, teleseminars, webinars, group events. And with those, I have to have a very, very detailed plan of, okay, here's the end result I'm looking for. Now let's work back and let's have the steps in between of what we need to do. And what's interesting is it's not about being so attached to that plan, but once you put pen to paper, there's a clarity that happens as a result of writing down your ideas. So for people listening in, the first thing you really want to do is get clear that plan, the business plan, is going to be the foundation for all the other project plans that you put together in your business. And so it started now. And one of the things I do before I even take a client on, I have a number of different ways that I work with people. But when I take my premier clients on as a client, I, first of all, find out what industry they're in. And if they're not in an industry that is a good fit for my personality and the kind of coaching I'm going to do, I usually refer them over to somebody else. I don't want to take their time or my time to try to create something that is going to be an uphill climb. The next thing I do is I have a conversation around what is it that they're really expecting out of the coaching and out of us working together. If it really is on target with what I can deliver, then I have them fill out an application. I make them answer some questions, and I can tell by how they fill out the application whether or not they're really going to follow through on the things that I will work with them on. And 9 times out of 10, that application disqualifies them. Now, what's interesting about that is I start getting people that are a great fit for what I have to offer and what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's real. And what's interesting about the application, too, is with some of the questions on there, that's part of their project plan or their business plan. They're identifying, okay, what is it you want to see happen with your business in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? And if I have somebody who says, well, in a year I want to go from making nothing to making $1 million, I don't know how realistic that is. You know, you can have the vision, you can have the dream, but chances are you have to start with that first 10,000, then that first 50,000, then that 100,000. But it's an exponential growth. It's not like you have to go in little steps all the time. But part of it is the more solid your foundation, the more availability for opportunity you will have.
Now, Kathleen, I want to ask you about, and Kathy, I know, talks about this in a lot of her presentations, the importance of networking and talking to and visiting and businesses that are folks that are in the businesses that you're interested in getting or business you're starting. Because a lot of folks, we call it internships when you're in college or high school and you're trying to find out if you want to go in that particular field. But as adults, a lot of times we don't have those conversations. We don't do that networking. We go out there kind of blind and say, this is what I'm going to do. And some of the best information that you can get are from the individuals that have already work in the business. And most times I've met a lot of folks who love to talk about what they've done, their accomplishments, or as they say, talk about themselves. So speak a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. Thanks for asking that question, because I think it's very important to find those who have achieved what we hope to achieve and model after what they're doing. It doesn't mean that we have to become them. It simply means that they obviously have a formula for success that holds a lot of value. Now, one of the things about when you do find people that you can model after, sometimes you're going to have to pay them. Just like in what I do, what Kathy does, what you do, Tony, people pay us to give them that information. Sometimes we give it away for free. Sometimes we'll mentor people because it's just the right thing to do to mentor somebody without charging them. And, you know, I have a handful of people I do that for because I feel called to do that. But in the networking, one of the things with the Internet that can be very seductive is you don't have to leave your home if you don't want to. And that has a lot of appeal, but it also can have a real backlash in that you actually can lose social skills, and you may forget that there's a real world out there. And what I have found is some of my greatest relationships in business that I've developed and solid relationships have been not only from meeting people by way of the Internet and doing joint venture partnerships and sharing ideas and being in mastermind groups, but also when I go to live conferences. I just got back from New York 2 days ago, and I was at the Independent Publishers Conference. It was the Publishing University. I was one of the speakers there. And I met probably five people that are really great potentials for business opportunities for them and for myself. I met quite a few people who could turn into wonderful clients. And being able to sit down across the table with a cup of coffee or over a meal is a great way to do networking and for people to really share a level of, if you will, intimacy that you cannot share over the Internet. So I think it's really important for people to realize the Internet is great to a degree. Just like social networking is great to a degree, but we can get so caught up in quantity that we're not looking at quality of relationships. So the networking, both online and offline, find the people who are succeeding. Hang out with the winners. That's a big one for me. It's like find the people who are winning and hang out with them because there's plenty of naysayers out there, and I don't want to be around the naysayers. I want people who are risk takers. I want people who are they have big visions and nothing is impossible. Absolutely, absolutely. And one of my mentors happens to be Willie Crawford. I'm sure you've heard of Willie Crawford. He's
a fabulous
man. And it's interesting because through him mentoring me, and I've known him for quite some time, and I pay him to mentor me. I don't expect to get that for free. But what was interesting is as we were working together and I was putting a project together and he was giving me some insights as to how to tighten it up and do it a little bit better and optimize what I was doing, I mentioned to him that if he ever had an opportunity at any of the conferences that he goes to or he does, that I would love to be on the platform. Well, one thing led to another, and I was one of his featured speakers at his birthday bash. Now, what was interesting about that is I was at a live event, got to network with a number of great people, and that opened up even more opportunity. So I think for the people on the call, one thing to consider is be willing to ask for what you want. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, but if you don't ask, you've already been told no, and you told yourself no. So the thing about running a business is not only do you have to have the really practical side, you have to have the dreamer side. And I'm a real visionary type of person. I'm a real dreamer, and it wasn't always that way in my life. I mean, there was a period in my life that I was the complete opposite of who I am today, and I blamed everybody for the way my life was. I was going through a divorce, and this was in my early 20s, and life was awful, and I thought it was everybody else. And a very dear friend who turned out to be one of my greatest mentors said, no, it's your attitude. It's your view of the world that's creating your life, and it's like I was so upset with that. I thought, how can you say that to me? Looking back, it was the greatest gift I could have gotten.
And you know, I'm going to add to that, Tony, because you really kind of stepped into a very big field there. And, you know, my close family members and close friends, they make fun of me. They make fun of me. I mean, I know that's kind of strange to say, Kathleen, but I am the networking queen.
We
must have
the same family, Kathy. I think we have the same family.
You know, I don't know. I am the networking queen, and I'm also the queen. I believe in using your resources.
Absolutely.
And I try to associate myself with, you're right, like people that are like-minded, that are doing what I'm doing. They've been there, done that, and they have the experience, they have the knowledge. And I try to associate myself with those type of people, and I ask their opinion, and my family and friends are always getting on me because you can't do anything without asking the opinion of at least two or three other people. Well, why not? That's what you're supposed to do, is use your resources.
Absolutely.
Why should I make a decision about something? This is new for me. I mean, I've only had my business. I haven't had my business very long, just a couple of years. So why would I not ask someone that's been doing it for 20 years and I've built a relationship with that person?
Absolutely, because even though I've had my business for 15 years, and my business is doing very well, I have not had any impact by, what I'm hearing other people say. And I think a lot of it has to do with I'm not willing to stop in my tracks and say, oh, well, life is so bad. It just, nothing's working out. I look for other opportunities. It's like after 9/11. The industry of speaking and training pretty much came to a standstill for a lot of people. A lot of speakers and trainers went bankrupt because there was no business happening. That was a period of time that I sat back and I thought, okay, if this is the reality, and I do my own reality checks and I do this with my clients, if this is the reality, what do I need to do in order to make this work? And what was most interesting about the period shortly after 9/11 is that's when I started developing my first multimedia program, which is the cornerstone of what I do now. It was called Street Smarts Marketing, How to Market a Business on a Limited Budget. And I think I even put the word small business. And what I would do, I locked myself in a room for about a month, and I developed this product based on years of experience. And I put it together in a nice physical product, and then I hosted a free live seminar. And I put media releases out. I went to chambers. I went to other networking meetings, invited a whole bunch of people, had about 150 people who showed up, and I did a free presentation. And on the back end, I said, if you've enjoyed this, I'm doing a full-day training, and the full-day training is $299. Now, this is in a downturn economy where people are saying, no money, no money, no money. And I had 26 people out of that group who signed up for my one-day training. That was a nice payday. Now, of course, I put a lot of effort into it, but that really made me think about opportunities, that sometimes when our back is against the wall, that's the greatest opportunity we could have because we're forced to look at things differently. And if we pull the covers over our head, the only thing we're going to see is darkness. You got to get out there and explore, talk to people. But again, be careful who you hang out with. I think that's so critical. And if there's a lot of conversation about how bad things are, you need to find another group of people to hang out with. And
right.
I'm sure you advise that to your clients, Kathy, because it's not a safe place to be inside a lot of people's heads.
Right. And I also advise them too. I also advise them too, Kathleen, that networking it's a great marketing tool. It's a great marketing tool, but please don't be selfish with it. Do not just associate yourself with someone for your own personal gain. I mean, it has to be a two-way street. If you're going to network, then you need to be helpful and available, and you need to help others as much as you're going to ask for their help. I mean, it goes both ways, and I try to make sure I let my clients know that, because I have some clients that really ask some weird questions about networking, like they think networking is there just to help them build their business, but, I mean, networking is a privilege.
You know, it's so true, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been in situations where people, again, they're only looking out for what their needs are, and it's not,
right.
They're not going into it with, how can I create a win-win opportunity?
Right.
What you said about giving, one of the things that is kind of a principle of my life is I tithe. And I tithe in many different ways, to the place where I have my spiritual worship. I tithe there. I tithe to family members who are struggling at this point in time, and there's a few of them that really need some help. So that's a part of my giving back. But I also have people who they've been sent to me, and I've been called to help them to do what they need to do, and they seriously do not have the resources. And, you know, a few of them, they have physical disabilities that really limit them from doing certain things. And to me, that's such an important part of growing a business, that if we're so worried about only what we can get and not giving, our business is not going to grow. If we
That's
truly
right.
live in the space of, okay, how can I make life a win-win for everybody that I come in contact with, it's amazing the kind of opportunities that open up.
Yeah,
well,
and it's all about – go ahead, Tony.
No, and I was going to add to that, because the one thing that happens in business, all of us know just from a customer service standpoint, customer service is a reflection of the business that or the service that's being provided. And that goes in the aspect of what happens in what you're doing. People can see who you are and what you're doing, and it reflects on the kind of business person that you become. And if they see that you're a selfish individual and you take yourself too seriously and don't give, or all you're concerned about is the bottom line, well, it reflects on your business, and in many instances, you're not going to be a good business person, or that business isn't going to last very well. So I guess the best way of looking at it or saying it is what I always tell people is your business should be a reflection of your goodness. And if it's if it's not a reflection of your goodness, then you need to change what you need to do so you can get to that point.
I like that.
Yeah,
your business.
I like that too, and I have to give Tony some props here. I mean, I'm going to just jump in and give Tony some props, because, I mean, he has really been a fabulous mentor for me. I mean, I met him at a time when I was really trying to launch into this new career, and Tony's got 25 years experience. I'm sorry, Tony, I don't mean to indirectly tell how old you are, but.
Old.
That means we must 20, be close to the same age.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
25 years experience, Kathleen, and this man has been on the same stage with presidents of the United States. I mean, from the president on down, celebrities, and I can't even begin to his resume. I mean, not resume, but his bio, just like yours, Kathleen. I mean, Tony's bio is pages and pages and pages long, so for him to give back and help to pull others up and share his knowledge and do, I mean, that is commendable. And that's what we have to do. We can't always expect payment for everything. I mean, if you love what you do, and if you, I know Zig Ziglar said it, I don't know how he said it exactly, but if you give enough to others and just follow your passions, money will take care of itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The money will
and
follow.
And one of it is the trust, too, that money will come. As long as we do the footwork. I was having a conversation with somebody recently that said, well, I have to be inspired to do this, and I have to be inspired to do that. And I said, wait a minute. There are times that you may not be inspired to do something in your business, but it has to be done because you have a commitment to a client. Or, you know, there's little things that we all have to do that we may not like it, but it's a part of getting the job done. And as you grow your business, you can outsource some of those things that aren't necessarily your greatest strength. And it would be more cost effective for you to actually pay somebody to do it. Another thing about growing a business, and it is so true, you've got to be willing to give back, but when you hire contractors, to pay them joyfully. I really think that there's some kind of an energy that goes on that when we write those checks or we send that PayPal payment, that there's got to be a joy to paying them, because without them we could not do what we do. And I think a lot of times people forget that. They think of it more as an expense rather than an investment. So there's a respect that goes on. And great example, I live in a very little community. It's a town of about 3,500 people, and over about a 10-mile radius, maybe even 20-mile radius. And there's a little tiny coffee shop that it's a little hole-in-the-wall place that everybody congregates. And there's this waitress there who is phenomenal. This woman is, she would knock your socks off with the kind of service that she gives. Well, the owner was there recently, and I said, you know, Gary, you need to take care of this woman. She is fabulous. She's the reason we keep coming back. And he goes, right now I have a stack of resumes so high that everybody should be happy to have a job. And she was right near. And she gave me this look. She just kind of smiled, like a knowing smile of like, that's just Gary. And I thought, you know, it's too bad that he doesn't realize the gem that he has, because one day she will leave because of lack of appreciation.
Well,
you know, unfortunately, and that happens in not just in business and careers, relationships. I mean, that is just the world. Some people are just so dysfunctional.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What were you going to say, Tony?
Well, I was just going to say, and that reminded me of a time. There was a company they used to, pager companies used to come out, the voicemail messaging companies, and there was this woman who was the receptionist of this local company, and she was the nicest woman. When you called her, she greeted you with so much joy. Sometimes you wanted to get mad because you were having a bad day and you wanted to think badly, but she automatically turned your badness into goodness. And it was so funny. I remember going in one time to pay a bill and seeing her for the first time, and she was just so pleasant. And I remember saying to her, I've spoken to you probably 20 or 30 times, and every time I speak to you, you change how I feel. And I said to her, thank you. And what was so funny is she said to me, my job is to make you smile. And if I don't make you smile, I feel sad. And at that point, it showed me that her pleasure was pleasing. And that's what business, when you get in your business, should really be. It should be a pleasure for you, and it should become a pleasure for the folks that become your customers and your patrons. Because if it's not a pleasure, then why are you doing it? I mean, I think that's why people become entrepreneurs or business people, or they do their own things. Now, I do want to ask you this, Kathleen, while I have the opportunity. I want to ask you about when people talk about starting their businesses, and we talked about some of the fears, and we talked about how to initiate those kinds of things. But how do those individuals, when they get started, how do they take a look at their business and make a determination when they really need help? Because sometimes people wait too long.
You know, they do. I would say the majority of time, especially solopreneurs, they do wait too long. And the reason is, one, they may be embarrassed to ask. And I'll tell you, when I started my business 15 years ago, I was afraid to ask, and my business reflected that. And until I got humble enough to say, I don't know what I don't know, and go out and find the resources, my business didn't grow, and it wasn't a viable business. So, you know, I've been there, done that with my own business. But I would say that you know when it's time to grow when it becomes more painful to not grow. And that goes for hiring staff.
Like
that goes for I have, there's two people in my company. There's myself and my business partner. We're equal owners of the company, but we do contract a team of people for various reasons. I have one woman who's my project manager. That Kathy, actually, you've had communication with Tammy.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, Kathleen, if you don't mind me interjecting, if that happens to be Tammy that you're referring to right now,
yeah,
don't let her go.
Oh, she's phenomenal. She's phenomenal.
Don't let her go. She's outstanding, and I hope you tell her I said that. I hope she will listen to the archive if she's not listening live. She is extremely professional, always very pleasant, just what Tony described, always has the right answer. Every question I've ever asked her, she's always been very pleasant because I've worked with a few of your book launch campaigns, and she is so knowledgeable and a great, great person.
She is, and thank you for saying that because I really value her as such an important part of my business. And she was the first person that I really saw as a resource that I needed and in order to grow. I mean, if I wanted to stay where I was at, and I had a comfortable business a few years ago where, you know, I was living It was decent. And some people would say, well, that was really decent. But for me, I knew I wanted to grow because one of the reasons I like growing my business is in what it gives me as far as opportunities to donate to charities, to help other
yes,
people.
Me too.
Me
too.
Do more of my life's work. And my business is part of my life's work. But when I can, without even thinking about it, when I can have a charity that says, hey, can you make a donation, and it's a charity that I believe in, and I write a check or I send a PayPal payment, and I don't have to cringe and think, ooh, am I going to have enough money? That's the beauty. That's what drives me to have a more successful business. Another thing that I do, I reframe the whole thing about the people that are on my team. I have a social marketing expert. I have a transcriptionist. I have, you know, it goes on and on, the different resources. And I see what our relationship is that we're creating a better quality of life for each other. It's not just a one-way street where the vendor is creating something great for me. I am also creating a more comfortable life for them. And I talk to my clients about this in that when they're working with their vendors and their employees or their contractors, they really need to look at it from the perspective of it's everybody helping everybody for a better quality of life.
And Kathleen, I'm glad you brought that up about your employees, because can you talk to our listeners a little bit, because I did get a few email messages when they knew that I was going to do this show and speak with you. And the question came up about virtual employees versus having a real-life office environment. How successful can you grow your business, you know, just using virtual employees? I mean, I don't know if you do both, if you have an actual office, or are your employees virtual?
I work
virtual?
Out of my home. I live out in the country.
And all your employees do, too?
You know, well, I have one person in my business besides me, and that's Karen, who is the business owner, as well as myself. And then everybody else is a virtual.
Wow.
Not
okay,
employee.
Great.
I can't, because I don't have employees, and there's a very good reason for that. With employees, I want people who have the entrepreneurial mindset that, you know, they're going to be creative too and offer ideas that might help my business grow. Plus, there's no liability. It's like I don't have to worry about insurance. I don't have to worry about, you know, there's so many things I don't have to worry about. And it just works really well for me and for many people I know. I have, you know, my business does very well, and it's because of the people that I surround myself with that it works well. I had actually considered at one point, it had to be 10 years ago, I suspended operations in my business to join a company as a branch manager, and within a month I was the vice president of operations. It was a career development company. Tony will appreciate that one. And we did quite well with this whole team of people building the company, and I actually thought of buying the company. I was thinking, oh, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have this really beautiful building with all these employees and on and on and on. And then I started thinking about it. It's like, no, because then there's a lot of headaches that go with it. And when I look at my profit margins, because my profit margins are at about 85 to 90%. So if I make $10,000, I'm going to profit about $8,500. I have a very dear friend who works with the government. She contracts to the government, and her profit margin is about 6 to 8%. So if she gets a $100,000 contract, she gets $6,000 to $8,000, plus all the headaches of materials and all this type of stuff. She loves what she does. If I get a $100,000 contract, I get about $85,000 out of that. Maybe a little less because I might hire more resources, but it's very different when you're working out of your home and you're contracting people rather than having a physical building, because there's so many headaches that go with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you have your own virtual contract that you have your contract employee sign, or do you go through a virtual service, or how do you?
No, I've been very fortunate in finding people through referrals from other people. I ask my colleagues, who are you working with, and I actually have found some good help through Craigslist, of all places. The transcriptionist that I have right now, she's been working with me for probably about 8 months, and she is great to work with. I send her the audio file. We know what the timeline is going to be for her to complete it. She completes it, sends me the file, gives me the bill. I pay her instantly, and boom, 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 it's done. I found her on Craigslist.
Wow.
One of the things you can do is you can advertise on Craigslist. You don't want to show what your regular email address is. You want to hide that. So when people respond, you can pick and choose who you're going to respond back to. And I usually am very specific, actually I should say always very specific about what I'm looking for. And there's some real simple things that I do to test people and see, can you follow these instructions? If you can, then probably you can follow other instructions, or you can pay attention. But if I have somebody, I remember once asking for a portfolio. I was looking for a designer. And this one person said, I don't give my portfolio until you sign a non-disclosure agreement. And I'm like, okay, that's like a little too much. So I immediately disqualified this person.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
So it's really easy to find good help if you talk to your colleagues.
Right.
Don't give the biggest project right away to a new person. Test them with littler projects. Nothing
or just repetitive kind of things. You know, like if it's something that you do every week at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, like advertising my show, promote, you know,
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
simple that you know you're going to put an event up on Facebook or something like that, you know, give them something simple or
absolutely
that they could do,
absolutely.
Make some phone calls. Yeah. Now, Kathleen, let me ask you, because, you know, I knew our time was probably going to run down pretty fast with this discussion, and it is. Can you give our listeners just a few low-cost marketing tips? I mean, if they are just starting out and you know, they don't really have a big advertising budget, I mean, is there anything that they can do that's low-cost for them?
Yes. There's plenty of things they can do that would be low cost. The first thing I would say is once you've identified your market, you need to figure out where your market hangs out. And social networks, for example. Facebook is a very viable resource for me to network and to also build my business. In Facebook, you can actually befriend people who are in a geographic region. So if you have, let's say, a brick-and-mortar business, or you're the kind of coach who wants to meet face-to-face with your clients, and let's say if I did that in Eugene, I would actually find people in the Eugene market to bring onto my friends list. So that way I could, if I have an event, I can promote it to that particular group of people. Or if there's a topic, I have one client who actually communicates with angels, and her business is booming right now. It's really amazing. Well, she has a group on Facebook that she's in the process of building right now, where anybody who's interested in angels or angel ministry, she's certified to ordain people through a six-month training program. It's through a university, and this is a program that I helped her to put the marketing plan together for. And so for her to start a group that is about angels is a great idea. There's no cost to it. Now, the thing about Facebook is you want to be really careful how self-promoting you are, because I actually got kicked off a couple of months ago for 2 weeks. And it was kind of like,
promoting
well,
your business?
What's that?
What happened? Why?
They apparently they. I was repeating the same message one time too many. It was an event I was promoting, and you know how you can invite 100 people, and then you put a message at the bottom. Well, I was doing a copy and paste on that, and that's a no-no. But the way around that is to start a fan page, or what's referred to now as a professional page. There's much more flexibility. But with Facebook, that's a great place to network and build your business, as long as you're not too self-promoting, because the challenge I see with people is they start trying to sell right away, and one of the things you want to do is be a resource before you're a vendor. So Facebook,
that's right,
or Twitter or LinkedIn is one very low cost, it's no cost other than your time, way to market your business and any events that you're doing. Another way is with media releases online. Another way would be through joint venture partnerships. As you mentioned, you've participated in several that I've done, and it helps you to build your list. It helps us to give more value to the end user. So that's another way, is get involved in joint venture campaigns. Another way would be to have teleseminars. You can do that with no cost whatsoever. You use something like freeconferencecall.com. You promote it to your list, and hopefully the people on the call have already started building a list. That's something you definitely want to put effort into. You can go into forums. You can go into Yahoo groups. You can ask friends and colleagues if they'll promote it for you. So those would be a few really simple ways. Another way is through article writing. That was really the beginning stages of my online visibility, and I'm going back probably 7, 8, 9 years ago, where I started writing articles, and at the end of the article, I would have this little resource box with my email address, and I'd say, if you want my report, email me. Well, that's when it was all manually done, and now it's all automated. But those would be some viable ways that somebody can get visibility. However, before they really push on getting visibility and marketing, what you really need to have in place is your foundation of whether it be your blog, your website. You can put up a really good WordPress blog that doesn't cost anything unless you want to host it on your own server and have it independent of WordPress. But you can start with a WordPress blog and start getting the word out. But you want it to look professional. It never ceases to amaze me when I see somebody's website that is – they're saying they're professional, and the website looks like a three-year-old put it together. So you really want to look at what you're putting out to market. I tend to be pretty direct at times. I mean, there's times when people go, what do you think about that? And it's like, well, I'm not thinking much about it right now. But and I do it out of love. I do it because I really want people to succeed. And I think
that's your job. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely, yeah. And the challenge for a lot of people is we get so attached to our story and who we think we are instead of who we are meant to be. And I think it's really important that when we get feedback to consider the source and to say, well, is that true or is it something I don't need to pay attention to? Because I've had people who have invested a lot of money getting their websites up, and it's a beautiful website, but it's not a marketing tool. So I make some recommendations, mm-hmm. and they go, but I already spent so much money on it. I don't want to have to change anything. It's like, okay, then it's not going to do the job you want it to do.
Right.
So that, you know, those are a few things as far as no-cost ways to market, but also make sure your foundation is in place because you might be building a house of cards if you don't.
Right. Absolutely. And when you say the foundation, there are a lot of resources out there to help you with your foundation.
Most definitely.
Before you get started.
And a lot of them are free. You know, when I first started out, I didn't have the money to do a lot of things that I do now. I mean, I probably pay more in taxes now than I made the first few years of my company. And the thing is that I had to look for every free resource out there just to get started. And my recommendation to people is before you put a lot of money into something, test the waters, whether it be a piece of software, whether it be any type of new program you're thinking of getting involved in, whether you're going to be contracting somebody. Start in baby steps, and then when you see that it's something that's going to be a great resource for you, then be willing to invest. And another thing for newer business owners is you have to take a percentage of what you bring in and put it back into your company.
Right, that's right. And you're so right, Kathleen, because I want my listeners to know that I met Kathleen on MySpace.
Was that where we met? I'll be dang. That's funny.
Oh, you didn't remember?
You know, I knew we met somewhere online, but I didn't remember it was MySpace. How amazing.
Yeah, it was MySpace, and you know, because it was several years ago, and you know, I was kind of just, you know, testing the waters, you know, sticking my big toe in to see, you know, what the temperature was in the water, and I really had a great experience on MySpace, and then I kind of branched out a little bit more, met a lot of girls. Like you said, I didn't just jump out there trying to find people to help me do what I wanted. I just wanted to get out there and, like you said, just learn, meet people, establish relationships, and, you know, just kind of build some relationships. So that is I absolutely agree with you 100%. Those are absolutely excellent suggestions. You all should take some notes on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you have an affiliate marketing program. Can you just talk a little bit about that? I mean, I know we got 5 minutes left, but
a great deal of my revenue comes from either me being an affiliate to other people or having affiliates who sell my products and services. And my affiliate program, I have several different programs that I put out to market depending on time of year, things of that nature. But basically, somebody goes to my website, they sign up as an affiliate, and then when there's a new product or service that comes out, they can introduce it to their market, and based on sales to their market, they get a percentage of sale. And it can be anywhere from 25% to 50% and sometimes even higher. And one of the things about online business, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what the nature of your business, you can do affiliate programs. I have a very dear friend that just started a doggy daycare, and they have a website for the business that is a really nice website, and she has an affiliate section where she recommends certain products that she believes in for pets. Now, if anybody buys that product through her website, she doesn't handle the delivery at all. It goes directly to the company that is offering it, but she gets a percentage of the sales, so at the end of a month, they would send her a check. So my affiliate program is basically set up for people who have clients that would be looking for teleseminar information. Maybe they want to launch a book campaign online. That's one of my areas of expertise. I work with clients on how to take their book to bestseller status. I'm working on one project right now where we have 35 authors involved in one book, and it's just such an exciting project. But so that's another thing.
Am I part of that one? I think I'm part of it.
I would have to ask Tammy. Tammy's handling all
that. I think
that.
I am. I think you are.
I think she mentioned that you are. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be the biggest I've ever done on a – and I've done big ones.
Oh, yeah, I am part. She did say that. This was the biggest, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's exciting because we're including in teleseminars with the authors. We're doing web radio. We're doing I have my social marketing person who's setting up a fan page for the book. We're going to have all the authors. I'm actually training all the authors over the next 2 months on how to market on the Internet, specifically for the book, but the tools that they're going to get they can use for their business. And so it's a really, really exciting campaign. We're going to have a number of great joint venture partners. That what's really unique about this is every partner is being asked to have a new product that they're offering as a bonus. And we've had some people who say, they're saying, well, you know, I don't want to do a new product, and I'd like to just add it into my newsletter instead of doing a solo message. We've had some big-name people who said that, and those big-name people got rejected because I told Tammy it's about integrity. That I know it's like, no, go tell that one, no. And what it is, though, it's in business, I believe we have to have integrity in the way we do things. And if we set a standard and we start compromising that standard, it really isn't fair to the people who played by the rules. You know, so in this particular campaign, we have a certain set of rules because we want this campaign to blow people out of the water. And the most exciting part is I actually had a meeting recently in New York while I was there with the marketing person for the authors division at Barnes & Noble Online. And they're going to be working with us on this campaign to make sure it's a huge success. So there's some really exciting things going on.
Now, Kathleen, we're coming up on our last 60 seconds, so give me your website address. I want to type it in our chat room. It's www.
It is kathleengage.com. Very, very simple. And if people want to see my spiritual side a little more evident than just on my website, they can go to dailyawareness.com. That's my spiritual blog.
Okay, great. I'm putting that in here too. Oh, you have been wonderful. I knew this was going to be a great interview, and I knew everything was going to go fast, but thank you so much for all your information. I'm sure I'll be in touch with Tammy, and I'll be in touch with you, and we'll be working together because I've had
Absolutely.
A great time, the time
Absolutely.
That I have worked with you guys. So thank you so much, Kathleen, for joining us with all your great information, and we are going to sign off for now. Please feel free to visit Kathleen's website. If you want more information, you have questions, you can email me or you can email Kathleen. And we're going to sign off for now, but we will see everyone next week, or we will at least hear you next week, and we'll be here. Our chat room will be open, and our lines will be open, and we hope you guys have a wonderful week. So we're going to sign off. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill. And Tony Lamont was there, but Tony, did you go away? But at any rate, you all have a wonderful week. Good night, everyone.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.